Welcome to the Encourage Podcast. In true Encourage style, today we've got some stories to tell and some real life to talk through. Join us as we build community, celebrate diversity, and become women of courage.
Let's start today with an excerpt from Courageous Kindness, written and read by study author Becky Keefe.
One of the most remarkable things about Jesus is that he chose to make close friends and invest his life in them. God's Son, who is fully divine and who became fully human to accomplish the will of the Father, chose to spend his short earthly years being a really good friend to some really messy people. Isn't that the best? Sure, many people had but a single brief encounter with the Messiah. The woman who reached through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof by his friends, the blind man who received sight through dirt mixed with spit and Jesus's miracle touch. Yes, Jesus can make a life-changing impact through a single moment or meeting. But think about the disciples and the inner circle of friends Jesus shared life with. The ones he showed up for time and time again. The ones he saw at their worst and loved them anyway. The continual kindness of their friend Jesus made all the difference. The ripple of his influence in their lives created waves of lasting change. The Gospels show that, in addition to the disciples, Jesus had several other close friends, including two sisters named Mary and Martha. Scripture's first mention of them is in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, which read, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Clearly, Martha can't handle the seeming inequity between her frantic preparations and Mary's lounging at the feet of Jesus, and she doesn't keep quiet about it. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." Luke 10:40. Doesn't that sound like the voice of a friend who is close enough to be like a sister? Martha calls him Lord out of respect, but her words reveal Jesus wasn't an unfamiliar guest. If this had been the first time they met, surely Martha would have maintained a more formal tone, shown more restraint, and stifled that exasperation she felt toward her unhelpful sister. But good friends don't need to filter their feelings. They say it like it is. And that's exactly what busy, distracted, irritated Martha did. Jesus' response confirms the nature of their friendship. "Martha, Martha," he responds, affectionately repeating her name. He knows her. He knows how she gets tightly wound and loses sight of what's truly important. He probably also knows their family dynamics and any underlying tension between the sisters. Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha's brutal honesty like an elite leader casting judgment. He responds like a friend, calling her out and up and loving her right where she is.
That excerpt by Becky Keefe is from the Courageous Kindness Bible Study, available wherever books are sold. You can get a copy today on dayspring.com. Use the code PODCAST25. You'll get 25% off your Bible study plus free shipping. Also, be sure to join us at encourage.me, where we're going through Courageous Kindness together. Every Monday, we have Bible Study Mondays, where you can get questions, the full discussion videos, quotes, all kinds of fun things. So join us for Bible Study Mondays at encourage.me.
Joy, welcome back.
Hey, friend. How are you?
Good. I love that story. I love the way that Becky phrased it, and I love the scripture story. I love all of it.
I'm going to read it real quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it. It's just a few verses. So I'm going to read it here. It says, this is in Luke chapter 10, and it's verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Do you know that Christmas is in a few weeks, and I have a lot of preparations to make right now? I do not have time to just be sitting and have people not help me. I really feel like Martha at the moment.
Oh, I 100% always relate more to Martha than Mary. Like, I always kind of thought of her as a goody-goody. And I was like, Martha's the relatable one. Like, she's getting the stuff done, man. So yeah, I don't know what that says about me, but that's my honest reaction to their story a lot of times.
Well, it's very much this season, but I appreciate how Becky just talked, you know, about kind of the story inside of the story, you know?
Yeah.
Like, clearly they were friends with Jesus. That makes a lot of sense that he'd be at their house and he would just be like, she would feel okay to be like, "Mary, what is your problem?" I mean, I have four sisters, so I know how these conversations go. You have a sister. Like, could you get off your butt and quit watching TV and come help me because I have something to do? Could you quit just visiting? Can you please stop just visiting? Like, who's going to feed all these people?
Right.
I really understand that. And the fact that they could just talk that way in front of him, what would that be like?
My gosh. So that we should all want that relationship, right? That we can bring our whole honest selves. I love how Becky talked about the long-term friendship that they had and the ways that Jesus showed kindness to them over that long term. Like, there were those people who experienced the power of Jesus in a one-off sort of way, but Mary and Martha got to experience him, we see, for quite some time.
Right.
And so it led me to wondering about your experience with those kinds of friendship. Have you ever been gifted service or kindness or time from a friend over the long haul?
Yeah, I really have. I have, you know, we've moved a few times and we're pretty good at long distance relationships. Mm-hmm. My husband and I we've had some friends that we've just had for years and years and years. And I have friends from childhood that I've had, you know, that I still keep in touch with. I'm really grateful to social media for those. That's why those things still happen, you know, but I have some friends. I have a friend in particular that I've known for almost 20 years. Her name is Diane. And, you know, we used to be super close where we lived right by each other. We worked together. And when that was at a time when we lived in Wisconsin and I didn't have any family up there, I had two little kids that were 2 and 4. They were tiny. And, you know, she helped me with everything. She helped me at work. She'd help me with my kids. She would be there for me. She would do holidays with us. She would help me plan birthday parties. Like, she just really filled in that gap. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, she let me be kind of ugly some days. Like, if I didn't have to be perfect around her, I could just kind of be myself. And I actually have quite a few examples of that. I just feel like God has gifted me with some really amazing friends over the years. And it's been a lot of people have been Jesus to me in different times in my life when I felt, where I could have easily felt alone. God has placed people in my life and I'm pretty grateful for that. I mean, gosh, this moving thing we just did, which is bananas, and I'm never doing it again.
Yeah.
I know, never say never, but I'm never doing it again. Just watching friends come alongside and see me get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And my friend Stacy literally staged my house, cleaned it, brought her mom over there. I mean, I was at my wit's end and they just kind of took over and served when they knew that I couldn't do that. So grateful for people like that. I need that because I cannot do it all.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's like what Becky was saying. Jesus chose to spend his time here with friends, and it's a gift that he modeled that I think we're supposed to pay attention to, you know?
Are you a big time person? Like, what is your, is quality time a thing for you?
My love language? Well, you know, I joke about my love language as being thought of. So I already know
the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it. Is quality time a thing to you, Anna?
Does that matter to you at all? I think my love language lies more in with gifts. And that leads to kind of that one example, which pairs up with time. There is a committee that I have served on at church for a long time now, probably almost 10 years. And it's a small group of us that are, well, now our former pastor, but his wife assembled, and she kind of reached out to people who weren't super plugged in some obvious ways and brought us together for this behind the scenes serving committee. And we kind of became each other's people, and we are very different. We do important tasks around the church, but they're very behind the scenes. We're kind of a quiet ministry. And it has been so fun to be there for each other in some different ways throughout the years. And one way that they have recently-ish been there for me was after I had my youngest, who is one now, but was born right in the throes of this pandemic. And I was on the receiving end of such kindness from them. They showed up at my door with a meal, which a lot of people did graciously and gratefully. However, they showed up every Tuesday with a meal for four months.
Wow.
They rotated through. They planned what they were going to supply so that it was never the same thing. They worked together behind the scenes to plot it out, and they showed up at my door on Tuesdays with dinner. And it could make me cry now just thinking about that love that they showed me. And maybe it's not the longest of long hauls, but you know, how many meals do you get after you have a baby? If you're lucky, you get a good handful of them, but usually it's, you know, one from one person kind of a thing. This was one of the most meaningful gifts to me, because not only was I thought of, but they delivered. I mean, they followed through. They chose to pick something that would be a long haul, not a one-off. And my heart could have exploded from the kindness of it.
Yeah. And look, they even gave you that gift of time because someone else took care of dinner.
I know. And they showed up, and I got to have a little visit with whoever dropped it off. And, you know, it was just, listen, if you want to make a new mom cry, that'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So talking about the steadfast kindness of friends, the steadfast kindness of Jesus to his friends, our friends, Becky Keefe and Grace Pichot and Dr. Lucretia Berry got together and created some videos for Courageous Kindness. So we're going to peek in on one of their video clips from week 5.
Welcome to week 5 of the Courageous Kindness Bible Study. This week was about showing kindness for the long haul. Mm-hmm. We often think of kindness as a random act or a single incident, but it can be so much more than that.
Kindness for the long haul means investing in relationships over time. Mm-hmm. And if we're honest, that requires a lot of work. But yep. Walking with someone for an extended season is biblical. Mm-hmm. And can have countless benefits. Mm-hmm. So how has long haul kindness helped you see more of God? Mm.
In day one of this week, I talk about meeting someone in the foyer of our church and how she asked to meet for just to come over and have a talk. And with her, one dinner turned out to be years of walking alongside her. Mm-hmm. And I love that in our relationship, it was the small moments. It wasn't like every meeting was a deep, intimate conversation about her struggles, which some of them were, but it was both. It was just walking with her in the little things and also in big things like her addictions and mm-hmm. helping her through that. So mm-hmm. the long walking with someone in the long haul shows us God's faithfulness, not only to us, but his faithfulness to his people, to our communities, and that shows us different glimpses of God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly what I see in that too, is that You know, I think about different friendships in my life. And of course, like I loved them the first week we were friends, the first month we were friends. But over years of showing up, doing life together, I've seen God's faithfulness, just that steadfastness, you know, thinking of my friend who had a miracle baby, which was exciting and also terrifying when she was 40 something and not expecting this in her season of life, to a friend who for years we just prayed for endurance for her in a job that was not her joy. And now to see that she is doing something that is so life-giving. And so just to see that, like, I wouldn't have those glimpses if there hadn't been that longevity. And I think you guys are right. Like, kindness can seem like that single incident kind of thing. And yeah, I think it's easier to pay for someone's, you know, Starbucks order or to bring in a neighbor's trash can than to show up again and again and again.
Yeah.
But we'd be missing out on something God has for us if we didn't.
Yeah, it's kind of like a long-term investment. Like, this year we were married. My husband and I have been married for 19 years.
Wow.
And but I think about the first part of our marriage, which we call the winter of our marriage. And, you know, we fortunately were friends for several years before we got married. But so when we got married, I mean, we experienced a significant shift. So like friendship dynamic, kind of power dynamic, economic dynamic. I actually, you know, I moved to live with him. So a whole like give up my job and come live where you live. Wow. All of the things.
That's like, a lot of transition.
So much. A lot of debts. But along the way, I believe that we tried our best to choose kindness. So, you know, and so this consistently choosing kindness over time, like the long haul, builds this trust, right? So we have like this core that, of trust that, so even when we are going through something that's challenging, like we have each other's back, or we know like, if one of us, you know, hurts the other, it's probably more likely an accident. You know, it's like, oh, we just misunderstood. Because, you know, early on, it's that consistently choosing the kindness that gave us a foundation of trust.
Yeah. I have this picture in my mind of like choosing that kindness, like smooth the edges of what could be a sharp stone. And so when you guys bumped into each other in the future, like you're saying, like you filled in the gap of, well, is that intentional? You filled that in with kindness and grace to be like, oh, like probably wasn't trying to wound me. But just
and
like,
you can give the benefit of the doubt then. Because of that trust.
A really good illustration right at the end there where she talked about smoothing the edges and filling in those gaps with kindness. Think of like the rocks in the rivers here that are worn smooth by the weight of the water. I like that visual.
I also, that took me right back to the Mary and Martha story, you know, where Jesus just really smoothed over those rough edges, like because of that relationship and grace that he had with them.
We're so lucky to have a front seat to these conversations.
We really are. We have, you know, kindness is one of those things that I'm thinking, you know, how have I seen the kindness of God? And, you know, yes, you can talk about having friends and friends do these things for you, but sometimes we go through seasons in our lives where we don't have a lot of friends, where we are alone, or we're just going through, maybe it's not a long season. I mean, last December I had COVID and I was alone in a room for 10 days. You know, it could be short, it could be long. But for me, the kindness of God shows up in those more obvious, in those alone moments. Obviously, it comes through people, but in those alone moments, and it's like peace in the middle of a lot of worry or peace that comes in my heart when I'm totally overwhelmed or scared to death or at my wit's end. And the Bible calls it a peace that passes understanding. And that's, I think, the kindness of God. I see that in my own life all the time, whether I'm with people or not.
Well, you could say peace in a storm, perhaps, like in the Bible story we're going to read next.
Oh, what a great transition. You should be a podcaster. You're really good at this.
Okay, so in Matthew chapter 14, there's a story that you may know about when a time when Jesus walks on water. And I'm going to read this for us, and then you can look at how we learn kindness even from this. So this is Matthew 14, 22 through 32. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. I love looking at how Jesus reacts to these guys.
Poor Peter. Like, he's always like volunteering, and he's always
not quite getting there.
But I do like how Jesus reacted. I mean, first of all, he was like, "Calm down, be chill." But I also like how he told Peter to come to him, let him walk on water. That's super cool. But then also let Peter kind of suffer the consequences just enough to make him see, like, hey, I've got you. This is me doing this. You know, I've got this under control, which Jesus does many times through storms and all kinds of things happen on boats like this with Jesus in the New Testament. You know,
but Jesus in boats. It's like he went after fishermen to befriend or something.
Right. Yeah. When I read this, I think I want to be that kind of friend to my friend. Mm-hmm. I want to be a friend that brings calm to people's world. Someone that they can trust, someone that will carry them, someone that they just don't have to doubt, you know, someone that they know will be there for them for the long haul and will come through and hold them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the example that Jesus sets with these guys, with the people in his life. Going way back to the beginning of this, when Becky was talking about how he chose to surround himself with friends. I mean, everything he did was so on purpose, and I'm so grateful for the blueprint that he gives us. And this is another one of, look what it means to know people. Look what it means to know what they're going to be thinking, to know what their doubt looks like, to know what they need to hear to rise up.
Right. And everyone's different. I mean, I have some friends who I know, hey, I need to pay attention to what's going on in their life. I need to be the one that makes the phone call. Mm-hmm. I need to be the one that makes the plan, because that's just the kind of friend that they need from me. I have other ones that I know, hey, just follow her lead because she's got this. And so I guess that's when you take the time to really get to know people and do life with them. You can see some of those things and really support them in the way that they need to, which Jesus did excellently over and over and over again.
Thank goodness.
We are so lucky. We should be that good of a friend. That is friendship goals for sure. Well, that's it for this week, friends. Please remember to join us on the internet at encourage.me/Bible Study Mondays. We will have more of the same discussion, the whole video. You just got to hear a little bit of it today. Questions and more. If you don't have a copy of Courageous Kindness yet, get one at dayspring.com. Use the code podcast25 and you'll save 25% plus get free shipping on your copies of Courageous Kindness. You can find Encourage everywhere on social at Encourage. That's Encourage with an I. Please come find us. We'd love to hear from you. Courage Podcast is brought to you by Dayspring, makers of your favorite cards, books, and gifts. Visit them today at dayspring.com.